The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Amen. Please be seated. Welcome to Scots Church, one and all, whether you're here physically or whether you're coming in via YouTube. Welcome to you all and God bless you. Let us stand and sing our opening hymn this morning, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Well, once again, a very warm welcome to you. And if I should say that I'm not Phil Campbell, he's about a foot taller than me, and probably more handsome. Anyway, he and Louise are away in Queensland, of all places, at the moment, catching up with family. So I hope they're keeping out of the worst of the flood areas. Please keep them in your prayers. So they're on 2 weeks annual leave. And our guest preacher during this time is Mike Rader, who's rather familiar to Scots Church now. We're getting him back at a regular basis, which is wonderful. So Mike will be preaching today and also conducting the service and preaching on next Sunday. So I'm the other Phil Court, and it's my privilege to be leading worship today. If you are new, please introduce yourself with one of these cards with a picture of Phil Campbell on it and fill out the details or use the QR code. And do we have any visitors with us here today? Would you just put your hand up if you're in that category? I can't see any hands going up. Oh, yes, I can. Yes. Oh, I think, is that Gary, is it? No? Okay. I had been told of a couple of visitors, but anyway, welcome to you in particular. Now, the Reverend Dr. Peter Barnes, he's the Moderator General of our church, the Presbyterian Church of Australia, has launched a Ukraine appeal, which runs through to the end of next week, and that is to be able to send some money to a Presbyterian minister from Australia who is working in Hungary, very close to the Ukrainian border, so that they can support refugees that are coming there. You'll see details of that on the Scots Church website if you wish to support that. Also, it's really good to know that our Korean church that meets here, our friends, the Korean church, who meet here regularly on a Sunday afternoon, will be back in the church again this Sunday. It's great to have them back after the COVID restrictions time. And our 5 p.m. service, Scots City, will move back into the church itself this evening, and communion will be part of that service as well. Next Sunday there will be barista training at 12:30. So if you want to become a fully fledged barista, then let Lauren know. Can you put your hand up, please? That's Lauren down there after church, so she can put you on the list. I think that's the end of the announcements. So, the other thing I should say, if you haven't picked it up already, the latest copy of the Scots Church leaflet is available. Please pick it up on your way out. Stay for coffee afterwards, and there is morning tea also in the building behind me. Let's stand now and sing "There's a Wideness in God's Mercy."
Thank you.
Please be seated. Well, let's empty our minds of distractions and focus our thoughts on our one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please join me in prayer. Dear Father, we come before you as your gathered people, bought with the precious blood of the Lamb, redeemed from eternal death to eternal life through his perfect obedience and willing sacrifice, enlivened and sanctified by your Holy Spirit. Bless us, we pray. Nothing in our hands we bring, simply to thy cross we cling. Forgive us, Father, for all our unrighteousness, the things we should not have done, the things we should have done but did not do, the hurt we have caused to others, the times we have averted our eyes and walked on by someone we could have helped. As we prepare our hearts and minds to partake in the Lord's Supper today, give us eyes to recognize each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, equally precious in your sight. Give us ears to hear the cries and the anguish of the world you so love that you gave us your only begotten Son. Give us mouths to speak your truth in love to all people. Give us hands and feet to be the hands and feet of Christ, generously doing whatever we can to love our neighbour in practical ways. Give us hearts of flesh and the presence of your Holy Spirit within us to abide with us every passing hour. And hear us as we pray now in the words our Lord Jesus taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Let us bring our prayers before the Lord and remember what is happening in our world. We pray for peace in Ukraine, and we pray also for peace in our own country, especially those who are suffering or the heavy rains and floods in Queensland and New South Wales. Let us join our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. Holy and most merciful God, we praise and we give you thanks, the God of nature and the God of grace, the giver of all good. Summer has passed, but you have blessed us with autumn, where every leaf is a flower. We thank you for the beauty of each season that you have given us. Lord, throughout this season and the whole communion we are about to receive today, we are reminded again of the greatest love of all, the love of the Lamb of God on the cross. And through his death and resurrection, Christ has brought salvation and forgiveness of sins to mankind. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your never-ending mercy. They are new every morning. Lamb of God, we praise and worship you. Gracious God, rejoicing in your blessings, trusting in your loving care for all, we bring you our prayers for our country, church, and world. We pray for the flood victims in Queensland and New South Wales, where thousands are told to evacuate in parts of Sydney due to more rain forecasts. The devastating news of more cases of Japanese encephalitis virus in Queensland, and the process of a big cleanup in Brisbane and New South Wales. Loving God, have mercy, we pray. We remember those who lost their loved ones, those who suffered property damage and lost livestock or pets, those who began with big cleanup for their own property, those who worked hard to help the flood's victims. We remember the rescue teams, the local and federal government, volunteers, the body of Christ in Queensland, New South Wales and Australia. Loving God, reach out your hand, we pray, and have mercy on your suffering people. May they receive strength, courage, patience, and wisdom, and may they be blessed with your presence and peace, knowing that God journeys with them. May Christians rejoice to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to help those in need and share the gospel of hope with those in despair. May many also turn to Christ and believe. We pray for world peace. God of peace, we pray for the regions of our world caught up in war and threats of violence. We remember the conflicts in Ukraine, Afghanistan, and Pakistan in the wake of a bomb attack on Pakistani mosque. Heavenly Father, we pray for God's peace and reconciliation to overcome all hatred, conflict, and war. So may peace and unity be achieved and restored. We pray for all Christians in devastated countries. We pray for courage, strength, and unity. May they proclaim the good news of your kingdom and be the messengers of Christ's hope to the helpless, hopeless, and oppressed. May God bind up broken hearts and bring comfort to all who mourn. Heavenly Father, now we pray for the people in need in this place and their beloved families and those for whom life is bitter struggle, those whose lives are clouded by death or loss, by pain or disability, by the discouragements of fear, by shame or rejection, for children and parents, friends and neighbors, and those especially in our thoughts today. We remember our senior minister, Phil and his wife, Louise Campbell, who are currently on leave. Compassionate God, hear our prayers. Come to us now. Hold us, help us, and heal us. For you and you alone are our salvation, our refuge and strength. Through Christ Jesus we ask these things. Amen. Let us sing, Ye gates, lift up your heads on high.
The word of God from the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 21 to 28. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' you shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians but spared our houses.' And the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the people of Israel went and did so, as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. Amen."
I know.
The New Testament lesson is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 17 to 34. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat, for in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come. Amen. May God add his blessing to these readings from his word, and to his name be all glory and praise.
Well, let me say how delighted I am to be back with you at Scots. It's so good to be here in my kind of second home, I think. Let's pray. We pray today, Father, you will speak to us through your word. You'll teach us, if need be, correct and rebuke us, and train us in righteousness that we might be equipped for every good work. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think there's a lot to be said for a good argument. The writer G.K. Chesterton said that when he was 5, his brother was born, and from the moment he was born till the day he died, they never stopped arguing, but never once quarrelled. He said the main objection to a quarrel is it spoils a good argument. You see the distinction? An argument is a vigorous exchange of points of view. It's iron sharpening iron to get to the truth of a matter. A quarrel is verbal fighting. Cutting down, win at all costs. It's good to argue, but never quarrel. Today we celebrate the Lord's Supper, the subject in history of many arguments and a few quarrels. And you can see why so many questions. Should we celebrate the Lord's Supper? Do we have to?
The Salvation Army don't. When Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, was he laying down a command, a sacrament for all time? When he said, this is my body, did he mean that literally, like the Catholics believe, or is it, like we believe, a metaphor? How often should we celebrate it? My church does it every Sunday. You do it, I guess, what, 2 or 3 times a year? Who can come and take part? Phil will say in a moment, only those who love Jesus. Well, what if you don't love Jesus and you take part? Is there harm done to you? Can children come and take part? They do it in my church. Who can preside? You say elders. My church says ordained ministers. In my church, you can preach a sermon and not be ordained, but you can't preside at the Lord's Supper. I find that personally rather odd. Must it be bread and wine or juice? You're Presbyterians. What about a chocolate slice and a Scotch whiskey? A Tim Tam and a tasty Scots coffee? So many questions, so many arguments. Well, these in our ears this morning. Let's think about the Lord's Supper, what we can learn from today's text about it. Paul is probably in Ephesus. Men have come from the church in Corinth with a whole bunch of questions for him on things like women prophesying in church, spiritual gifts, food offered to idols, but with reports of some things that are very disturbing that are happening in the church. Some things very harmful. Now, you know, I think that we didn't have church buildings until about the 3rd century. Until then, Christians met in homes. In cities, there'd be 3 or 4 wealthy families who owned or rented a big house where 20 or 30 Christians could gather. And they'd do what we do. They'd pray, read the Bible, teach, sing, and have a meal together called the Love Feast or the Lord's Supper. And so maybe what they do in the course of a meal, they stop for a moment and just break bread and remember the Lord's death. Or maybe the whole meal was a remembrance in honour of Jesus' death. And Paul's heard some astonishing news. What they're doing at these meetings with these meals does more harm than good. Paul has heard about divisions. Now, for Paul, there are 2 kinds of divisions. First are those which are, if you like, differences of opinion, which tell you nothing about someone's spiritual state, like what you think about the Lord's Supper, or women in ministry, or creation and evolution. But there are other divisions which tell you all about your spiritual state, whether you're the real believer or not. And what's happening in this church are those kinds of divisions. You see, whether you think women should be ordained or not tells you nothing about your spiritual godliness. But some behaviours separate, Paul says, the sheep from the goats, the true believer from the sham. And what was happening in Corinth are those kinds of divisions. In that church were 2 kinds of people, the rich and the poor, the haves and the have-nots. What was happening was maybe there'd be a meal there and the rich who didn't have to work would come early and just stuff all the food. So when the poor came, there was nothing left. Or maybe it's like a potluck dinner. The rich who had much brought a lot and ate it all for themselves and got drunk. While the poor sat there, watched them and stayed hungry. And Paul is appalled. You're making a mockery both of Christ's death and the church, says Paul. Christ died to reconcile rich and poor. You keep them apart. It's a disgrace. Can I commend you for this? Certainly not, says Paul. That's Paul's, if you like, his high voltage attack. What's the remedy? Not to answer all our questions, but to remind them of what happened on that first Lord's Supper. I think by the time Paul wrote this letter, the four Gospels had not yet been written. But there was a tradition known well across the Christian world of what happened on that night, of how our Lord took bread as a symbol of his body and broke it and gave it to them. How he took blood-red wine and drank it as a symbol of his blood poured out for them. And then said, "Do this in remembrance of me." The Lord's Supper is essentially a remembrance. Now in the Bible, as you may know, to remember is more than a mental activity. It's what you do. And forgetting is what you do. We might say, "Oh, it slipped my mind that last week was my brother's birthday." No, no. In the Bible, to remember and to forget is what you do. When God forgets our sins, he doesn't hold them against us. When God remembers us, he chooses to do good to us. So when you remember this morning the Lord's death for you and for me, that affects what we do. I think this morning, if Christ did this for me, I can't keep treating Tom, Mary, Jack, Phil the way I have for the past 6 months. I must change the way I treat them if I remember the Lord's death. That's what Paul means when he says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We tell each other the gospel, then live in the light of that in how we treat each other. And the problem in Corinth was not that they'd forgotten the meaning of those words, but they'd forgotten to care for each other and love each other. Here were rich Christians who knew at what personal cost Christ, though rich, became poor for us, sat there and gorged themselves and left the poor hungry. The hypocrisy is breathtaking. So God's judgment upon them, utterly righteous. So what's Paul saying here? He says, don't eat the bread and drink the cup in an unworthy manner. Remember why Christ died. What you're doing is denial both of the cross and the character of the church. As those at the cross mock Jesus, you're mocking the church. So says Paul, examine yourself. It doesn't mean go into deep personal introspection. Or am I praying enough? Do I come to church enough? No, no. Look around you at the body. Am I caring for you the way that I should? That's what it means to examine yourself as the church. Then he drives home how serious it is. Paul has heard of an unusual outbreak in the church of sickness, even death. He's discerned a link between this sickness and what's happening at the Lord's Supper. Now, not that there's always a link. Those who are dying in the church aren't the more ungodly necessarily. Those who get COVID aren't bigger sinners than those who don't get COVID. But sometimes there is a link. Sometimes God, in order to wake us up to our sin, may send a sickness. I got sick years ago, very sick in hospital. I paused and asked myself, I searched my life. Is God talking to me? I didn't think he was, but I asked the question. It can be a warning sign. I gathered the day before Shane Warne died, he had chest pains. Chest pains, numbness, a lump on the breast are warning signs. You'd be a fool to ignore them. Sometimes God sends us a spiritual warning sign, and we'd be a fool, like this church, to ignore them. Because to continue in sin like this would not be to enter the kingdom of God. Some of you know that I worked with a church in Pakistan, a Presbyterian church, actually. It was Orthodox, was conservative, had a high view of the Bible, but largely corrupt and devoid of spiritual life. And I saw it most poignantly when they had meals at weddings or celebrations. Folk would rush to the front, pile their plates obscenely high with rice and chicken and gorge themselves, and those at the back were left with the dregs. I was asked one time to speak at a retreat day for a Christian hospital. I was asked to speak on love. I gave my talk right before lunch. I said to the 200 there, who are all nominal Christians, I said, I want to give you a test. There in the tent is a lovely lunch. You can smell the luscious chicken and the beef and the rice. Here's what I want you to do. After you give thanks, go to the table and pile your plate as high as you can with luscious, juicy pieces of chicken and rice. Then turn and give the plate to someone next to you. And they smiled and they chuckled, they nodded. We gave thanks. No one moved. They went to the table and piled their plates high, and no one gave it to their neighbour. In Pakistan, they so revere the Bible, they wrap it in a cloth. They would never put the Bible on the floor. But on that day, I believe, they desecrated the Word of God, because they missed the essential message of the Scriptures. He died that we might love. So yes, today's text is about the Lord's Supper. But really, it's about love. The European mystic Meister Eckhart once said, if a man were in rapture like St. Paul and knew a sick man who needed soup from him, I think it far better if you abandoned rapture for love. That's why in two chapters' time, Paul writes those great words, if I speak with the tongues of men, but have not love, I'm a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I've worked out what the communion is all about, who should come, who should preside, if I've worked it out, but have not love, I've learned nothing about it, says Paul. So today, beloved, as you take this Lord's Supper, the real question we ask ourselves are not those questions about who should preside, or should it be bread and wine, or am I coming to church enough or praying enough. The real question is, am I loving? Do I love you? Do you love me? So, let's take part in this symbolic meal. Let's remember Jesus' death for us. And let's proclaim that, both with our words and with our love for each other. Amen.
Would the elders who will be serving the communion today please join me at this point? On behalf of the elders of this church, I say to you, if you love the Lord Jesus, then this table is indeed set for you, and you are welcome at it. Now, as we've done before, we will serve communion in a COVID-safe way to safeguard us all. So you will be given a self-contained fellowship cup like this. And it contains two things, a wafer at the top. The first thing you pull back will reveal the wafer. And then under that, the second tab you pull back will give you the juice. And when I indicate, we will eat the bread and drink the juice together, as indeed the body of Christ. Now let us stand at this point and say together the words of our faith in the Apostles' Creed. The words are in your order of service. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. While we're still standing, turn to the people around you and acknowledge them, greet them with the peace of Christ. Peace of Christ. Dennis. Please be seated. Hear these words from the Gospel of Mark. A crowd was sitting around Jesus and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my brother, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." Amen. Well, look around you, brothers and sisters, and if you recognise the body of Christ in the people gathered here, then joining together in this holy sacrament is to partake in the most wholesome and sustaining of spiritual food, food for your soul. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we gather as your adopted children to remember once more what you have granted us through your gift of faith and the willing sacrifice of God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. You have granted us redemption. You have forgiven our sin and freed us from its tyranny in our lives. You have taken us to yourself as your people. You have given each of us a role to play as your instruments in the world. Bless these gifts of bread and juice to us, Father God, and in the power of your Holy Spirit, transport us for a few brief moments to commune together at the wedding feast of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And in his precious name we pray. Amen. Hear these words from the Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins."
Thank you. bread, the body of the Lord. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this sacrament and all that it signifies. May our participation in it enliven our faith, draw us closer to you, and strengthen our bonds of love with each other as a people of yours. Give us the wisdom, the courage, the stamina, and the compassion to follow faithfully in our Saviour's footsteps all the days of our lives. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand as we sing our final hymn this morning, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Coffee at the back, you're welcome to enjoy it. You might want to join us for morning tea also upstairs in the building behind us. And now the benediction. Go in peace, my dear brothers and sisters, to love and to serve the Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest on each one of us this day and forevermore.